Okay, next we got Stu Steinberg, our favorite historian, Vietnam veteran. He comes on the show a couple times a month, and he kind of just pontificates about what's on his mind, and it's always good. Stu, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to see you. Good to hear you. Hey, let me just say something real quick about Wounded Warrior. These guys are the bomb. You know, a friend of mine turned me on to him. I sent him a copy of my orders for my Purple Heart. And the next thing I knew, I got this huge travel bag full of all kinds of really cool stuff.
Nice.
For free. A jacket and T-shirts and books and this great travel bag on roller wheels. I was totally blown away.
You know what? Interesting you should talk about the travel bag on roller wheels. Let me tell you what's behind that, okay? Tell America. A good friend of mine, Mike Schlitz, he lost both his hands in Iraq, got blowed up, and he got burned actually over like 86% of his body. And I was talking to him one day, and I said, brother, how do you travel? Because I have a hell of a time traveling. And how do you travel? He's like, well, I got this... this bag that it's on wheels and I can push it and it really works well. It's called it makes things easy. And we start talking about how he travels and he can't put his bag in the overhead. And here you got a guy who's, you know, a ranger, he's a warfighter, been through it. And literally he has to say things like, hey, can you please get my bag? I have no hands. You know what I mean? Type of thing. And so people have to help him. Just who's ever sitting around him kind of helps him and pulls the bag out of the overhead. And I'm like, brother, how's that feel? And here's what he says. He goes, what am I going to do? I get over it. I have to accomplish a mission. I can't grab my bag out of the overhead. I have no hands. So I say, hey, can you grab that? And it's that simple. I just get over it and I keep moving. So when you talk about luggage on wheels, that's really positive for guys who have injuries and, you know, bad backs and get blown up and everything else. And you've been blown up. You know what that's all about. So, you know, when you talk about wounded wear and bags on wheels, that's an adaptive apparatus and that's an adaptive implement. And it's very, very helpful. So they're making these gear that guys can get over their prosthetics and everything else. And it's cool. It's cool. You got to have the cool factor. So
very cool.
I agree. Shout out to Wounded Wear. All good stuff. What else you got shaking, brother?
Well, I want to talk about, and you and I have talked about this a little bit briefly here in the last couple of weeks, is the award of the Army Combat Action Badge. The Army created this award in 2005, and when they created it, they only made it retroactive back to 9/18/2001. And this badge is awarded to non-infantrymen, non-combat medics who, in the language of the reg, engage or who are actively engaged by the enemy. So people in, you know, other MOSs, military occupational specialties, can get this award, for being in combat, being in direct combat, basically. So every year since 2007, the House of Representatives has added a section to the National Defense Authorization Act that would make this award retroactive back to World War II. And every year when it gets to the Senate, it gets removed because of pressure on the Senate by the Army. So in 2013, at that time I was the commander of the Vietnam EOD Veterans Association, I sent a letter to the Secretary of the Army, and I also sent a letter to Chuck Hagel, who had just been made Secretary of Defense. I figured, well, you know, Hagel was an enlisted guy. He was an infantryman. He knows that, a lot of us were in direct combat who weren't in the infantry or weren't a combat medic. And then I got this letter back from the Adjutant General of the Army, who's like sort of the head of all personnel stuff. And according to this letter, this had been discussed at the top levels, and, no award like this had ever been made retroactive to prior conflicts, at least not in the Army. Now, in my original letters, what I pointed out was that when the Combat Infantryman's Badge and the Combat Medic's Badges were first awarded during World War II, they were made retroactive back to the beginning of that war. But I also pointed out that the Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard Combat Action Ribbon, which was first awarded in 1969, was in fact awarded all the way back to December 7th, 1941.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this letter I got from the AG, it basically what it said was false. Now, in 1932, the Purple Heart was created. And when the Purple Heart was created, they made it retroactive back to the date that we entered World War I. So clearly that was made retroactive to a prior conflict, and it did affect the Army.
Right.
So, you know, if someone had been awarded, there were four different awards for being wounded prior to the Purple Heart. The Badge of Military Merit, the Meritorious Service Citation Certificate, the Army Wound Ribbon, or a Wound Chevron. So if you had one of these, all you had to do was send a copy of it in, and you would get a Purple Heart. Now, one of the contentions that they have been making about this is, oh, it would cost money. It would take all this time for the Department of Defense or the Department of the Army or whoever to verify that someone was eligible for this. Now, that's just a bunch of bull.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. If you've got a Purple Heart or you've got a decoration for heroism or valor or gallantry, that proves that you engaged in combat with the enemy or that you were engaged by the enemy. It would be like someone like you who got the combat action badge because you were exposed to all kinds of direct and indirect fire. You know, it's just baloney that this is going to cost a lot of money. You know,
well, it should be implied. If you have a Purple Heart or if you have a decoration for it says it right there, direct action. It should be implied that the combat action badge or the CAB should also be awarded, and it should go back. And let me give a little bit of commentary on this. What happened in this war and the reason this is going on is because in a lot of ways. Now let's give a little bit about my background. I deployed to Iraq as a PSYOPer, okay? Tactical psychological right. Operations, 37 Foxtrot. That was my job. I was a team sergeant on a PSYOP team. Before I did that, I was an infantryman, a true 11 Bravo. I was in the 82nd Airborne Division. I did all that, all the running and gunning and all that stuff. Now, when I got to Iraq and here I am playing PSYOPer, guess what I was doing? I was a PSYOPer who was being an infantryman to get to the PSYOP objective, okay? So a lot of guys, and this is the truth. I mean, I served with guys who were in the CAV, guys who were in the infantry, and when I went out on the patrols with them, they might have done things a little bit differently, but the bottom line is they were all kicking doors. They were all making entries. They were all directly engaging the enemy.
Right.
And they weren't really, as far as the enemy knew, there was no difference between an armored CAV and an infantryman because they were all in Humvees, on patrols, finding the bad guys, kicking doors, taking them down, taking people, killing people, getting killed in all the same ways. And I can also say that it was not uncommon. If we needed a driver or we needed something else, hey, mechanic, you over there, get in the truck. You're now on the gun. I mean, that kind of stuff happens a lot. And they get engaged. This is Tipping Point, Boone Cutler, standby to standby.
Right.
Just giving you a little history lesson and what's right and what's wrong. We will be right back with Stu Steinberg.
Killing the people, you sent them over there to kill. Now that's a war crime. You're sending me to die. Get me being punished for doing anything to survive. Now that's a war crime. Y'all not taking care of your own. Your people turning your backs. On the ones who fought. Now that's a war crime.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that blow made. And they haven't even begun to pull a knife out, much less try and heal the wound.
And we're back. Tipping Point, Boone Cutler, standby to standby. And let's get it on with, not Todd Lazon, but we got Stu Steinberg here. And Stu's kind of giving us the G2, the down and dirty about what's going on with the combat action badge. And I was giving a little bit of relative history about what's happened recently and about why it's important. You know, at the Marine Corps, they say every Marine a basic rifleman. And that's the truth. And and the Army's kind of gone the same way with that. Now, I mean, if you can have any job in the world, you might just find yourself on a gun somewhere kicking a door. And so they made an allowance for that and started issuing an award known as or a badge known as a combat action badge. And that's to acknowledge people's military service and the fact that they've been in direct contact with the enemy. is different than just deploying to a war zone and having no contact. And so they want to make that delineation. And rightfully, and you know what? I know my FG brothers are going to end up contacting me and saying, oh, Boone, that's a bunch of crap, these pokes. Let me tell you guys, I hate to tell you this, but bottom line is there's a lot of MPs out there who are kicking doors. There's a lot of people who were just put on patrol that were kicking doors. And, yeah, they might not have been as good and proficient as the infantry, but they're still doing the job. They're still engaging the enemy in direct combat. And it's an issue. And now they're trying to go back and get these awards retroactive to guys like Stu. I mean, Stu, you know, Bronze Star with V. Why shouldn't he have a combat action badge? See what I'm saying? So so I get your point, Stu. Where are we going to go with this thing? How's it going to end up?
Well, you know, this is what is going on right now. Back in December, I sent a very detailed letter about this to the principals at that time of the Senate Armed Services Committee, because this is where this problem always occurs. And at that time, Carl Levin from Michigan was the chairman, Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma was the ranking member. And then the two other important members on the committee are, of course, you know, John McCain and Jack Reed, a Democrat from Rhode Island, West Point, former Army Ranger. I sent that letter. I know the Senate, you know, was adjourned at that time. And, you know, now they're back. And, you know, hopefully, you know, something will happen. Another really good friend of mine, a former EOD operator, one of the very first Delta Force guys, retired a command sergeant major in Delta Force. He has sent emails to a number of people. And I also learned that in 2009, the VFW, which represents 1.9 million of us, they passed a resolution at their national convention asking that this award be made retroactive. They've also been ignored. I've now reached out to the American Legion and Jewish war veterans. I haven't heard back from them yet, and I'm a little bothered by that fact. And I've also set up a Facebook page, so look for retroactive award of the Army Combat Action Badge. Like my Facebook page. Hopefully, you know, we'll get thousands and thousands of people doing that. And the more people will just, you know, simply raise hell about this. One of the things I just learned the other day.
But this doesn't take away, and this is, I think, where the point of contention is, if you really want to get into people's stuff, this doesn't take away from, you know, the CIB, the Combat Infantry Range Badge. This doesn't take away from the Combat Field Medical Badge that medics get, Combat Medic. It doesn't take away from anybody's service and anybody's heroism and the work they do, you know, out there outside the wire. It's just acknowledging other people that are also, I mean, the bottom line is it's acknowledging people who directly engage with the enemy. That's it.
That's right. And, I learned the other day that one of the generals who was involved in this process said that the badge was awarded to recognize the fact that so many people with non-infantry combat medic MOSs were actively involved in engaging or being engaged by the enemy in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan, you guys were in the sand. In Vietnam, we were in the jungle. And we were regularly involved, you know, in situations where we were in firefights, where we were being attacked by the enemy. I got my Bronze Star with a V device because I disarmed a booby trap 155 while an NVA soldier was trying to set it off in the middle of an artillery raid. If that's not being engaged by the enemy, then nothing is.
Exactly. How do you ignore that? And, again, it's one of those things. And thank you for your service, brother. I mean, neither one of us have anything to prove anymore. It's just one of those things that we got to explain to people that nobody's trying to take anything away from anybody. It's just it's being acknowledged for the things that happen. And remember, when a warfighter deploys, it's not just that warfighter. It's their family. I mean, that's their that's their lineage. That's their history. That's their legacy. And so, you know, I know when I would write out awards for my guys, I always did it from the perspective of this person's family one day, 50 years from now, is going to be proud of this person's service. So when I write up this award, I'm not just writing up this award for that warfighter and what they did. I'm writing up this award for this person's family and the sacrifice an entire lineage will make from this point forward. Because if you think for 1 minute that a warfighter, what they do in country, does not affect the next generation and the next generation and the next generation, you're wrong. What we do affects not just us, but our children, our children's children, and our children's children. My grandfather was a prisoner of war. My father was a Vietnam veteran. You don't think that affected the way I was raised, the way I grew up? Absolutely damn right it did. And so when I would put out these awards, I always did it from the perspective of whose grandkid is going to be looking at this on a wall and knowing that they have a sense of pride in this country for what their family did. Right. And that person is a representation of their family, of their family name, synonymous with other warfighters. And that's the way I always took that perspective.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, Stu.
All right, Boone.
Always good stuff, man. You're an electrifying human being. Thank you for your service. Give our best to everybody out there in Oregon and COVO, the Central Oregon Veterans Outreach. Love that organization.
Yeah. All right, brother.
All the way. Out here.